1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
It's time now for Breakthrough Thinking, the magazine. Interviews with the stars, movie reviews, inside talk, and up-and-coming talent. Everything you want rolled together for the next 2 hours. Topics such as love, family, social talk, fun, leisure, and travel. And that's just for starters. No matter where you are, the magazine has arrived. Now, here are your hosts for Breakthrough Thinking, the magazine, Dave Isaac and Greg Isaac.
And welcome to the magazine, heard every Thursday from 2 to 4 as part of the Breakthrough Thinking Broadcasting Network, which is the home of Breakthrough Thinking Monday and Tuesday business psychology shows. And, of course, Breakthrough Sports Wednesday and Friday, all your sports programming, interview with great sports celebrities, and the magazine right now, 2 to 4, starring Greg Isaac and Joseph Erdo.
Hi, Erdo.
Oh. Wow. So, guys, how are you?
Nice.
You're nice?
Nice. Yes.
No, nice outside.
Oh, nice outside. Well, so let's rephrase the question. How's the weather?
That's great.
Okay, great outside. And Joseph, how are you?
It looks well outside. I mean, I'm doing well.
That was a good one. It is getting sort of toasty and hot these days.
Yeah.
But the weather is good. That's why people come here, right?
Yeah, but when your air conditioning in your car doesn't really work.
Really?
Yeah, I'm leaking Freon or something
here,
like that.
I'll give you my keys. We'll change cars for a week.
Okay.
He's not going for it. He doesn't believe
me. I am worried about this.
Yes, yeah, I don't know if you've seen the inside of his car yet.
Oh, that's
probably
the reason.
Not, but it's
a lot of paperwork.
Wow. Not just paperwork.
And,
food in there.
Yeah, but I get hungry. Know. Come on. I have a refrigerator.
Be warned. I'll be putting a lot of miles on it for the screenings. They have me going out to Tempe almost every day.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Oh, wow. That's a bit of a drive, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, my. So, anyway, so we got some pre-recorded interviews today, right?
Yeah, a little bit later on in the show, we have some interviews with two of the stars from Twilight, the Twilight Saga, one of your favorite movies. Breaking Dawn Part 2.
Oh, right? Nice.
Because it came on DVD and Blu-ray on Saturday, right?
That's right. I didn't go to Walmart or Kmart.
Well, did you at least get your copy?
No,
They're sold out.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you're out of luck now, Dave.
Oh, no.
And they're never coming back in.
People are panicking right now out there in the streets.
Oh,
what's
man.
This guy saying? End of the world.
Oh, so we got interviews with them.
Yeah.
That's sort of cool.
Yeah, let's see. Their names are Guri Weinberg and Eric Odom.
Excellent.
They play two of those. So we'll tell you a little bit more about them later. And I know also later on in the show we want to talk about some of the other movies that you guys have seen.
I saw Snitch.
You saw Snitch?
I still haven't seen it yet. I
can't wait to talk about
hoping
it.
Bless me.
Bless Me Ultima.
That one.
Okay.
Bless Me Ultima.
Yeah. Did you see anything, Greg?
I have not. On Redbox, I don't think I did either.
Oh.
Okay.
Well. So we could talk about
that.
But throughout the show, I might think of something I may have seen on HBO for the first time, though, that premiered. And I'm thinking I did see something. Now I'm forgetting, so it will come back to me, hopefully.
I'm sure. Well, and we have reviews.
Unless I was in Dreamland.
we have four new movies to review that came out. Three of them came out this past weekend, and one of them comes out this weekend.
Which ones?
A Place at the Table is the one that comes out this weekend. Remember we had on...
Yeah, and I really liked Christy Jacobson.
Yes, she was a great interview.
And I saw her co-director on Morning Joe the next day.
Yeah.
With the producer, excellent. And getting a lot of recognition, this film, for a good cause.
There was just something in the newspaper today, one of those newspapers, right? The big newspapers.
Oh, yes.
I don't want to say the name. But one of those newspapers about hunger, right? I think this year it's greater in Phoenix than it's ever been,
really?
Something like that. Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So it's a timely movie, perhaps.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Yeah, we liked her a lot, and looking forward to your review on that.
Yes. And we also other movies we're going to review: The Last Exorcism Part 2.
Oh, okay.
And 21 and Over.
Haven't heard of that. Oh, yeah, I think I heard
the kid from the Twilight's in it.
Is he from Twilight?
The first three. Who's he play? The The kid that takes pictures, or the yearbook guy that talks to Bella right away.
There's so many people in that movie.
The main guy.
Oh, yeah,
Charlie
yeah.
Charlie Chan or whatever his name
yeah,
is.
Yeah, that's right. I know that yeah. one.
Well, this is kind of like The Hangover, so we'll talk about that. Oh, Hangover for the college crowd.
And The Hangover 3 teaser trailer has come out now.
Yes, it was on exciting. Satellite. I was going to see if we could get that on the air, but I don't know how entertaining that The Hangover trailer would be to listen to only.
Right.
Oh, well, yeah. That's
and
true.
Who's the third one?
The other one is Jack the Giant Slayer. Mm-hmm. Remember we had on John Kassir.
I didn't say that yet. Not yet.
Yeah. Well, then we'll find out if it's worth your time and money.
I could already
money,
tell.
Dave.
You're thinking a two, maybe no more than a three zine. I could see by your expressions.
We'll see.
Hey, I'm pretty good.
We'll see if
place at
I
table,
didn't say
I
anything. I didn't say anything.
You got a four zine on the table. The place at the table, I bet.
Okay. Well, we'll
am I doing good?
We'll see about that. Well, do you want to start with the reviews then? Since
no, let's... Yeah, we could.
Well, let's start it with those.
You want it?
Yeah, since you're throwing it out there that Jack the Giant Slayer is not good, but I mean, I would hate to say that if it is good, and then you're making everyone think so.
Now I think it's good.
Well, okay. Well,
I tricked them.
Let's start with Jack the Giant Slayer, since that was number one at the box office.
Was it really?
Yes, number one at the box office, $27.2 million.
Oh, my.
And this stars Nicholas Holt as basically this is Jack and the Beanstalk, right?
Yeah.
Live action Jack and the Beanstalk. He plays a young farmhand who I think he trades his horse for some beans, and he throws those beans, or someone throws those beans into the dirt, and some water gets on them, sprout a beanstalk, and a princess goes up into the clouds, and so Jack and several other people from the village, Ewan McGregor as well, right? Mm-hmm. They have to go and save her. And up there, of course, there are giants, right? Mm-hmm. And one of those giants, we talked to John Kassir. He was the small head of the main giant in the movie, right? And but now $27.2 million. Before you guess and everything like that, before I give my review, I just want to put this in perspective. 27.2, number one, sounds like a really good opening, right?
Yeah.
I remember a few weeks ago, we had this conversation about these movies that cost a lot of money to make.
Oh, yeah.
$200 million this budget was.
Oh, and that is big.
Oh, yeah. Man. And movies usually have to double that in order to make a profit.
Right.
So $27.2 million sounds great, but not for a $200 million
movie. Is that just in the U.S., the 27.2?
Yeah, that's just in the U.S. Oh, okay. I think it's doing a little bit better overseas, but it's
still,
definitely not
that's
a... Yeah.
way below...
they were hoping for something a lot bigger.
Mm-hmm. Like $50 million.
Yeah, so... But what do you think? Did I like this? You're kind of iffy on it, Dave. I'll let him go first. Then
four zines.
I did first last time.
I'm giving four zines.
You're thinking four zines?
Yeah.
All right. What about you, Greg?
I want to say four just because I thought John was great. He's a great guy and a great cast with the movie. I get the sense, though, it may have been a bit of a disappointment in your eyes. I'm going to say two.
Okay. All right. Well, now I do want to say this about John is that remember how he said that his character really doesn't have a voice. He just makes these voiced utterances. That's the way he described it. That is the perfect way to describe it. That's his character just makes these strange noises throughout the whole movie. A couple times you think he's actually saying some word, but so it's an interesting.
So the lines were not tough to memorize.
Right. Probably not. But no, okay. Well, this has enormous excitement.
Oh, okay.
This has a humongous heart and abundant adventure. You see what I'm trying to do there? Like giant, everything's big. No, it's four zines.
Yes,
it's four
zines. Oh, okay. I won, Mr. Greg. All right. What do you think of that?
Good for you.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's a very entertaining movie. It's a very entertaining movie for audiences of all ages. You know, primarily because it sticks to the fairy tale.
Oh,
I mean,
good.
You have Hansel and Gretel, witch hunters, which was like not even in the same realm of the fairy tale that we know of.
But this was the princess gets saved.
Yes, they changed a few things. Like I said, he traded his horse instead of a cow, and you know they switch up, but they kind of explain that how stories. Have you ever played that game of telephone where you say something to some person and you whisper it down the line, and then by the end it's a completely different story.
Yeah, I tried that once. I started it. I said, breakthrough thinking. That's all I said.
Yeah.
And by the time it got back, it said, breakthrough thinking broadcasting network heard on 1010 a.m. Monday through Friday, the home of Breakthrough Thinking, Business Psychology, Breakthrough Sports, Sports Programming, and the magazine, Great Entertainment Talk. What a great show. That's what I heard at the end.
And how many people did it take to go through?
Two.
See,
no,
now.
I'm kidding. No, it's 27.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
27.2 at the box office.
Right. Well, that's kind of what this was like. Where, you know, in terms of they change things.
Pretty cool.
So
though.
A lot of fun. The first, I would say, 2 hours. I mean, not sorry. So this is a little less than 2 hours. Mm. The uh-huh. first hour or so, a lot of fun. The last 20 minutes, then they stray. Then they stray from the story. Becomes Transformers. You know how your eyes glaze over, just a bunch of action, doesn't make any sense.
Right.
So these giants are no longer giants. They're these big Autobots or something. So, you know, the end of it, but I you know.
But it was enjoyable.
It's very enjoyable. It just, you feel, you know, it's the same thing that plagues all Hollywood movies lately, right? All these action-packed things.
Yeah.
You know, but still a lot of fun. So definitely go see it and try to boost its revenue a little bit.
$200 million is very large.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to help it that much. But
there won't be a sequel.
Right. So, but now number two, we already talked about, but I want to go in order here, the box office. Identity Thief made $9.7 million. Now, that's the one with Melissa McCarthy.
I didn't see that one yet.
Okay. It was all right. I believe I gave it 3 zines.
Yeah.
And so far, it's made $107.4 million. So their budget for that, I'm sure, wasn't $200 million.
Well, that's not too bad, huh?
Yeah. So they're doing pretty well. I think they're one of the most successful movies of the year so far. Hmm. Number three, we have 21 and Over. With $8.8 million, okay?
Wow.
Now, in this, I told you it's kind of like The Hangover for college students.
All right.
Justin Chan plays a straight-A college student whose best friends, played by Skylar Astin and Miles Teller. Miles Teller is from Footloose.
Oh, okay.
And he was also in Project X, that terrible, terrible movie.
Oh, yeah.
You didn't like that.
That was a terrible movie.
I love that.
That was the most irresponsible movie I've ever seen in my
life. That's what made it great.
Oh, I haven't seen
it. Wow. It was torture, but so Justin Chan plays this character whose friends surprise him with a visit for his 21st birthday, and what's supposed to be one beer becomes a night of humiliation, overindulgence, and utter debauchery. They go out and Justin Chan's character passes out. He can't. He drinks so much beer that he cannot remember where he or say where he lives. He's basically John Kassir for this movie.
Right.
Moist utterances after he's drunk. and so they're trying to find out where this guy lives so they can get him back for this interview he has the very next day. Very important interview. And all this crazy stuff happens to them. So what do you think? I'll let you go first.
Oh, 21 and Over?
Yeah.
Did Todd Phillips produce this as well?
No, I don't believe so. It's
but just similar to The Hangover?
I think it's the writers of The Hangover wrote this.
Nice.
And I think they might have directed it as well.
I think he liked it more than Project X. I get the sense. I'll go straight down the middle with 3.
Okay. I'll just say it's not hard to beat Project X. except for Lincoln.
That was
worse. But go ahead, Dave.
Now, you saw 21 and Over, and think of it without saying it. So think of what the zines are and how much one way or the other you did or didn't like it.
I'm transferring it to you.
All right.
Got it?
Okay, I think I'm going to go 2 zines.
Oh, well, okay. Now, this is definitely not The Hangover. It's a lot more fun to watch middle-aged men, you know, go through to get these tattoos on their faces and have their teeth knocked out and do all these crazy things,
right?
I mean, these are college students. Unfortunately, they're just doing what college students do.
It's expected.
Yeah, and so it's not as much fun to watch them do that because it's just like you hate these kids, but they're just getting so drunk.
Another one.
Well, no, and but the thing is, it is still amusing.
Oh,
it's
good.
3 zines. I'm giving it 3 zines.
Oh my goodness!
So you've got it, Greg.
You got it. It's tied now.
It's tied. It's they make donkeys of themselves, and that's what college kids do. But these the writers of The Hangover, they let's say Josh Lucas and Scott Moore are their names.
Oh, okay.
they, they've conceived some really funny situations that these kids get themselves into. Mm-hmm. The one problem that I did have with it is it does have that Project X kind of vibe to it, where it's so irresponsible. I mean, Justin Chan's character gets so drunk and he's passed out for the most of the movie. Yeah. Yet I don't believe that he drinks nearly as much as the other two characters, Skylar Astin and Miles Teller, the ones that they play.
Right.
But they are not drunk at all in this movie. So it's sort of like, you know, the more you drink, so it's just kind of like opposite, and it's completely irresponsible.
Low tolerance there.
Right. Yeah, so if you're a parent, especially of a college student, you're going to hate this movie.
Oh, okay.
Well, you know, watch your kids.
Right. But it really should come with this one of those do not try this at home warning labels.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because they could do it for the the Johnny Knoxville franchise,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So. Skull and Crossbones.
Wow.
Yeah, so then now number four, we'll talk about this movie a little bit later on.
Yeah.
Again, Snitch. Okay.
Yes.
$7.8 million.
Mm-hmm.
So far, two weeks in theaters, has made $24.5 million as of last weekend.
Just okay.
Yeah, just okay. Pretty good considering he made it for a modest budget.
Yeah.
Rick Romanois, the writer.
So maybe that works out.
Yeah. So, you know, not that bad, but if it were up to me, it would have been a lot bigger gross there.
A nice message. I could talk, if you want, now or later about what my impression was.
Well, let's save it later, and that way we'll talk about Bless Me Ultima as well.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
But then number five at the box office, rounding out the top five, $7.7 million, The Last Exorcism Part 2.
Oh.
Now, again, this is a sequel to The Last Exorcism, came out, I believe, 2 years ago.
Oh.
That was a found footage flick starring Ashley Bell as a possessed young woman.
Uh-huh.
Basically, they were making a documentary about, you know, her life. And she was this really strange farm girl. And this one is not a found footage flick. And, this is just a straight narrative, but it does follow Ashley Bell. She's found terrified and alone in rural Louisiana, and she starts the process of starting a new life, and suddenly the possession that overcame her before is back, and it reveals that it has horrific plans for her, that and that the last exorcism was just the beginning. Mm-hmm. Now, $7.7 million doesn't sound that good, right?
No.
Especially when the last one, its opening weekend, was $20.4 million.
Oh, wow. That's huge.
Less than half of that opening.
So there's something there.
Yeah, it's
not
quite
appealing, perhaps, to a lot.
I don't know. I think I don't remember when the other one came out. Might have came out at a different time or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think also because it didn't have the found footage thing to it. I think also worth noting is that 21 and over, even though it kind of has that same vibe as Project X. Project X was a found footage flick, and it made about twice as much money as 21 and over in its opening weekend. So maybe people just are flocking to these found footage flicks.
So some of them still believe they're real.
Right. Some people do, Dave.
yeah.
So who wants to go first? Last Exorcism Part 2.
You?
Two zines,
you think? Okay.
Well, I brought it up here on my IMDb app to just see a little more. And
he's cheating.
Great.
Usually I'd have it up on the computer, but no computer
today.
Oh,
okay.
You know, this is tough. I don't want to do the same guess as him. I think he's going to be right. No, he's not right. I'm going to say three.
You're going to say three?
I'm going to say three.
What did I say?
You said two.
Oh, yeah. Because I don't like those type of films.
I know the first one, I mean, like you said, found footage. Did you like the first one?
I liked the first one, but I think it fell apart at the end.
Oh, okay. And I bet it kind of continued through, but I'm still going to go with three.
Wow. What did you say?
You're right, Dave.
Yes.
It is two.
Oh, good.
You know,
which is not a recommendation.
Not a recommendation.
Do not go out and see The Last Exorcism.
Don't go
part
see The Last
two.
Exorcism Part Two.
Good.
No, it's pretty bad. It kind of suffers from the same thing as the original one. It starts off really, really good.
Yeah.
I mean, this could have been just a movie about. I wish that they would have done this all in her head, where, you know, she was just freaked out. You know, that maybe there really was no evil.
Yeah.
There was no exorcism. There was no possession. But instead, you know, and that's what it starts out like. She's really this weird girl, and Ashley Bell plays this character really well. I just saw her in another movie.
Yeah.
I just couldn't get past because she's got these like black eyes, and I think that she's got this demon inside of her. But she plays this character really well, and but she's really, really weird. I mean, she's like one of these girls that comes out of an egg. I think that's what my mom said. That you know, she kind of like the character is like she just came out of an egg, and she's experiencing everything for the first time. She puts headphones on, she listens to music, and she's like, wow, and she starts laughing, and she thinks it's just so much fun. Now, that's kind of amusing to watch.
Well, I also like when little chicks come out of the egg. They crack open the egg, and it's so cute.
Yes.
Okay, that's my final analysis.
This is not cute. This is there's a demon
this
inside this
bad.
Girl.
Yeah,
this is bad kind of egg.
Don't go out and see
it. No, but, you know, it just becomes an average, run-of-the-mill exorcism movie. We've seen these kind of movies a lot lately.
Wow.
The thing that really upset me, though, is I found this out as the end credits were rolling. Mm-hmm. This was directed by written and directed by Ed Gass Donnelly.
Oh, not him. Who is he?
He wrote and directed this movie called Small Town Murder Songs a couple of years ago, back in 2011.
Oh.
And it was on my best list. I think it was like number 4 or 5 on my best of the year list. I saw it at the Phoenix Film Festival, which is coming up here. We'll talk about it in the next few weeks and have some guests on for that as well. But Small Town Murder Songs, I thought it was an excellent movie, kind of in the same vein as the Coen Brothers movies, like Fargo and No Country for Old Men. Yeah. Very, very dark, very, very affecting movie. But I also called him one of the top filmmakers to watch. Hmm. So then he comes out with this Last Exorcism Part 2.
Wow.
I look kind of silly. He looks like a sellout. I mean, I even got a chance to talk to the guy, and he was the nicest guy, yeah.
Yeah, he kind of looks like maybe a little like Seth Rogen.
Oh. You know,
yeah.
Even a worse version.
Yeah, so I don't care if he hears this because he knows how much I loved Small Town Murder Songs. I am so disappointed in you, Ed.
Oh, so. Whoa, and he's online.
He might be a Maple Leafs fan. He's from Toronto,
Ontario. He could be.
Yes.
You picked him to be in the
playoffs.
The playoffs,
yes.
Okay.
He'll be happy about
that.
Wow,
so I take the lead 2-1, and we only have one left.
We have one left. Let's
see. You could tie it up.
You could.
Oh,
you can't win.
Yeah, that's right.
He can't win.
Yes.
But,
no, I actually get the tiebreaker.
Oh, okay. So, yeah. A Place at the Table. This is a documentary. Again, we talked about it last week. Christy Jacobson we spoke with. She and her co-filmmaker, Lori Silverbush, investigate incidents of hunger experienced by millions of Americans as well as propose solutions to the problem. So who wants to go first?
I think it's my turn this time.
No,
right?
But I have the lead.
Oh.
So you know what that means.
All right, go ahead. I know what you're going to say because I'm going to say it too.
I think just because of I saw a couple previews on it. It looked pretty well done.
Yeah.
I ooh, did you hear how he said yeah?
Yeah.
Oh. I mean, the content should be a 5-zener.
Uh-huh.
The content, but we're talking about the overall making of the movie.
Right,
plus
this is still a movie here. It's still got to be entertaining and whatnot, right?
Yeah. All right, I'm going to take a chance on this. The content's great, and I think it's probably 5 on the content, but I think overall it held your attention at 3 scenes.
All right. Greg.
Oh, no.
4.
4?
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, that's what you know what? You won. You won.
Yeah, again.
He always wins. Next week we got to get Tommy in on this, right?
Yeah, Tommy, you want to come in on this?
Yeah. Yes.
Too late now,
but I could tell you. I'm just going to say that you probably honored the content, helping, and that's
you are
important.
Right.
That's very critical.
The 3 is still pretty good, though.
Yeah, it means you a recommendation because we want to, you know, help people.
Yes.
But there must have been something within the documentary that. Wasn't quite there.
Well, it starts off really, really strong.
Yeah.
It will turn your stomachs. You watch this movie and you're like, wow, this is terrible. This is, this is, I mean, we've said this about a couple movies now, including Snitch, but, you know, an injustice.
Exactly.
A travesty of justice. And, you know, you're going to become outraged watching this movie. Millions of Americans who either don't have enough food or are unable to afford the type of food that leads to a long and healthy life, right? We talked about that. that last week. And they do a very good job at lighting a fire under your seat. You want to do something about this, and it tugs at your heartstrings because they do talk and talk to people who this affects.
Yeah,
you know, they talk to a lot of different studies, a lot of different people, real people who, you know, might be just living. They might be just your neighbor. These aren't people that are living across the country. Mm-hmm. They go to a lot of different places throughout the United States, and these people are just trying to live and trying to get by, and they can't. So it's really a tugging at your heart. But somewhere by the second half of it, and it's strange because this is only 84 minutes long, the second half I was losing interest. I don't know why, but it just felt like
sort of dragged on a little.
Yeah, I don't know. There wasn't enough new information that was revealed throughout. It was more like beating the same drum over and over and over. Still, a drum well worth beating. And in any second of this movie, there's a lot of great information. You will definitely learn a lot. You will definitely feel a lot. So definitely go out and see it. It's playing exclusively at Harkins Camel View 5.
Yeah.
Just not the, you know, documentaries are hard for me. I've said that before.
Yeah, you have.
They've really got to grab me in order to get something above a 3. You know, a 3 for a documentary for me is that's a success.
What's your favorite documentary?
That's difficult. In my memory right now, last year there was this documentary called Imposter, which was about a young man who went missing. Well, basically, he was posing as someone else who had went missing, and it was this whole story about, you know, why he did what he did. What do you have one?
I have a couple that I liked. It's been a while, really, since I've seen it, because these are older. Mm-hmm. You know, Super Size Me, I thought was okay.
Mm-hmm.
That was interesting, Fast foods.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, out here, I remember when I saw both of these, I was going to SCC, Scottsdale Community College. And in my film class, we were talking about a filmmaker, and the professor said, so raise your hand if you like his most recent documentary. And I did, and there was only like two other kids in the class that maybe it's because we were in Scottsdale. But I like Michael Moore, and I really liked Fahrenheit 9/11 and Bowling for Columbine. Mm-hmm. But I thought they were great. And
I think he won some awards
for
that.
Absolutely.
But it was very I mean, it depends what side you're on, but certainly he's
Well, I know you liked Fahrenheit 9/11 because I think I saw it with you and you were cheering it on with me.
I only went 6 times. But, but no, the bowling for Columbine, the one, the gun stuff, the Canada one, and then Sicko on insurance. And I think both political sides actually like that.
Yeah.
Everyone knows there's.
But I remember at school, though, and I started, and the professor asked, well, why do you like it? And I said it, and she goes, you know, and I forgot what she said, but she was like, "Oh no, it's wrong." I'm like, "How do you know that?"
Yeah, it's so, all the whole political debate But yeah, he's he started with Roger and Me, which got
a lot of
acclaim. GM,
pretty good.
I mean, he's brought out some things, especially the health insurance, the gun stuff. You know, I mean, half the people agree, half won't agree, but that's what makes America great. The First Amendment, where it is freedom of speech. Yes. I love that, Greg.
There you go.
Well, How about you, Joseph?
Yeah, me too.
I mean, what's wrong with freedom of speech?
Yeah. There's nothing. Well, you're looking at me like,
no, not you.
I'm referring this over more to that Scottsdale Community College.
Oh, in Scottsdale. Okay. Yeah.
Well, Morgan Spurlock, I like him a lot.
Yeah.
His movie.
Good stuff.
Greatest documentary. Did you see that one? The greatest documentary.
I didn't see it, but I know what you're talking about.
Palm Wonderful Presents. Yeah. That was that. That might be my favorite documentary. Very interesting because it's just like completely off the wall and tells a lot about the filmmaking process in Hollywood. Last year, my 100% my favorite documentary was Paul Williams Still Alive. He's the guy who wrote the Muppet song, the Rainbow.
I didn't see that. Was that good?
Yeah, that was a great. And you know what? I didn't even know who he was.
Oh.
I mean, you've heard of him. You heard of the Muppets and all their songs and stuff like that. But I watched this movie last year, and they sent me a screener of it. And I was like, I was riveted by this, and that's what a documentary really should do. It should
be
a subject that you, the best ones are about subjects that you don't know anything about, Yet when you watch even 5 minutes of it, you are like, I want to see a lot more about this.
Well, Pat Tillman had a documentary.
I
found interesting as well. Mm-hmm. And, of course, he was very well known out here. Very tragic what, of course, happened. Mm-hmm. ASU star as well as a Arizona Cardinals star. But I actually like documentaries. Yeah. I do like those.
Now, in terms of what you said with Super Size Me, that was the case with me because I didn't realize how bad that was. I knew McDonald's was bad.
That was very interesting.
But with Fahrenheit 9/11 and Bowling for Columbine, I already knew a lot about that stuff.
And yeah.
That's why I was like, I was
those
glad,
were well done.
Yeah.
Well, no
I was
doubt.
Glad that he was telling it how it is.
Right. And this, I think, in order to appeal to a wide audience, so it's got to have that hook. And I think that did, but I think that you were in the segment of the population who that movie, even if it wasn't really well done, it would have spoke to you anyway.
Absolutely.
But in order to speak to a wide variety, you know, and I think that this movie, A Place at the Table, it does a very good job at exciting people about this problem, exciting in a way that makes them want to do something.
I think that's very important. A Place at a Table, good cause. Let's have everyone get out there and see it. And you want to take a quick break? Then we'll do some interviews.
Sure. Yeah.
And when we come back from our break, we have some interesting interviews. Two of them, right?
Yeah. Well, two interviews from Twilight. And we'll talk about your movies that you saw.
And Bless Me, Ultima.
Mm-hmm.
And Snitch. And I'll do my review on that. See if you guys can guess the number of zines. And, of course, zines means magazines. We'll be right back.
At Beerum Baum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633. Or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birnbaum & Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, we know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.RIIAdvisors.com. That's RIIAdvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
And welcome back to Breakthrough Thinking the Magazine. No, this is not Dave Isaac. It's Greg Isaac along with Joseph Iardo. I did it for Dave there. Dave will be right back. He has a business meeting in the bathroom.
Oh, man. Yeah, I was going to... I was going to say that we should like have listeners find out if either we kicked him out,
yeah,
or he just left because he's celebrating since he won the zine contest.
Absolutely. Actually, that's what he might be doing in there,
but
too.
I think yours was funnier.
Oh, thank you.
Because yes. It's true.
Yeah, that's probably what's going on. And we'll know what type of meeting he's having depending on when he gets back. If he's back within 2 minutes, okay. If it's a 10-minute meeting, then, well, you know, who knows what he's doing.
Tommy's saying too far.
But we great movie reviews, of course, with Joseph Iardo. Yep.
Thank you.
If Dave was here, of course, he'd say Iardo. And Dave, of course, won the competition again with the Zings.
I think he cheats, though.
I think he does, too. I think he finds a way to, you know, look over.
Because people put the...
And I'm here next to your paper, and I make sure I look down as best as I can.
I have this so that it posts to breakradioshow.com, and that's where you can read all these reviews on breakradioshow.com.
Mm-hmm.
And I have it to post right after the show.
Yeah.
So I don't know if he logs in there and secretly looks at what I... how many zines I gave these movies.
I wonder if he does. Maybe he's going in the back end. Actually, the good thing that I know that he's not cheating is he doesn't know how to go in the back end because he doesn't even know the address to his website. So.
Oh, yeah.
What happened? Oh, there I am.
Your mic. Yeah, right there.
What do you guys
get a little flushed.
Tell Tommy to turn my mic off? Mm-hmm. I don't believe it. So what do we... you mean...
Well, you won the zine competition.
Yeah,
we're thinking you cheated by...
No.
Going on to the website.
Oh, did you have the number of zines on the website?
Yeah, I put them on there so that it posts after the show.
Yeah. No, I won 3-1 today.
Yeah, he just wants to rub that in.
Unbelievable.
Well, you know what? Let's move on from that victory speech there to our interviews.
Yes.